be like trillions in pesos. Yeah. Or quadrillions, I don't know.
Wait, did you say quadrillion?
Get the rice!
Get the rice! Don't touch that dial. You've just tuned in to the Tether Radio Podcast. The only podcast keeping you from spiraling out into the infinite abyss. I'm your host, Daniel, and I'm joined, as always, by Abby.
Man, I don't know how to come in after that. Like, that was strong. I'm feeling that intro.
After that garbage of a fucking intro that just happened that will 100% be edited out, I had to come in strong. So.
Man, I get all tongue-twisted every time we record, and you leave my shit in there.
It ends up as an ISO.
Yeah, I know. You bastard.
No, you bastard. But it's so good.
Cut that in post. I'll never. I will never.
No, I think that really, I was actually trying to think of was it the last episode that you were on your rant about the Coca-Cola freestyle thing?
So.
Dude, that was just so funny because everybody's been in your shoes.
I know, man.
That it's like, dude, pick a base product, pick a flavoring, or don't pick
a
flavoring.
You're not going to put a flavoring in it. You're not. Yeah. You're going to think about it, and you're going to chicken out.
Your grape strawberry limeade is going to taste like shit, okay? So just get normal Diet Coke and move the fuck on. Oh my god. So what's good with you, dude?
Man, I'm really excited. Oh, we're going to get into weird uses of tense right here, but I am excited for the book club tonight, which will have been in the past when y'all are listening.
Yes.
But if you didn't get to read the book or didn't get to hang out with us or whatever, which hasn't happened at the time of recording, so I'm talking to future tense and it's weird.
My mind.
But it's a really good book, so, like, for real, read it on your own.
It is good.
Grady Hendrix is the author, and it's called The Southern Book Club's Guide to Slaying Vampires.
Yes.
Yeah. A lot of fun. A lot of fun.
Yeah, and if you can afford, if you're not, like, my plebe ass and can't afford physical copies of books, get the physical copy because the art.
The cover art's always great. It's great. And there's, at the end, the way he did, like, his acknowledgments.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
In the book, like it looks like a flyer.
Yeah.
Like, it looks like a Christmas newsletter.
Yeah. So we actually have a friend that, she's an English teacher, and she does a poem about what their family did over the course of the year.
So it's like Christmas. Those acknowledgments.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It was really neat. And honestly, yeah, she kills it every time. So
even the hardcover of this, I always take off the dust jacket because I will shred them if I don't.
Yeah,
and on the like actual cover, there's a like an embossed imprint of like the Mount Pleasant local library.
Oh, that's
pretty cool.
That's super cool. I would say that the acknowledgement section is just as cool as Allie's curated Tether Radio newsletter. You can sign up for that at tetherradio.substack.com.
Woo-woo.
Get on it, y'all. So how was your week?
Man, it was pretty good. It was I finally cut my hair back off, and that I feel like myself again was real nice.
Yeah,
so,
looking nice.
So weird to get a haircut with a mask on though.
Yeah,
so weird. You got one, right?
Well, I got one, but it was a friend that was
so
cutting
you,
my hair, so I didn't have to wear one.
Yeah,
but no, Megan went and got cut, and
so
she was like, "Yeah, it was just strange."
Yeah,
so
I don't know, but yeah, I re-listened to that stupid Joe Biden episode of.
Oh my God.
Okay, there's this podcast that's a lot of fun called Episode One, where these guys make up fictional podcasts that have failed. So every episode is its own like single episode of a fictional podcast that
never had more. That concept,
it's so fun.
Dude.
That's like one of those things I'm like, I wish I had invented this.
Mm-hmm.
But they, episode 113 is Joe Biden, and it's three different guys just all in character as Joe Biden.
Are they reading quotes?
No.
Or is it just making
shit
up?
Just, I don't even know if they had any notes or if they are that good at pulling it out of their ass, but I was cracking up.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And they'd be like, this episode's sponsored by my favorite candy, Vanilla Plenties.
Vanilla Plenties.
I'm seriously, I'm like, I think I've listened to it 4 or 5 times. Yeah. I don't know. I'm driving around town yesterday in my car just hooting and hollering, laughing at this podcast that I've heard 4 times.
Dude, it's great. It's so goofy. Great. And remind me one more time, because I'm actually taking a note to check out the full
The podcast is called Episode 1. Episode 1. And it comes up pretty well in searches.
Okay.
1 is spelled out, if that probably will help.
Awesome. Okay. But,
some of the Chapo guys are mixed in with them every now and then.
Oh, yeah.
Felix from Chapo is on that Joe Biden episode, and his are the best ones.
They really are. Like, honestly, if they aren't scripted or whatever, that is really impressive.
It's so funny because they can't even keep a straight face. Yeah. And it feels like the old good days of Saturday Night Live, where like one of the actors would just ruin a scene because he's laughing so hard.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, dude. Just, absolutely would recommend that.
How was your week? What'd you get into?
Oh man. Well, I'm gonna start off with a little I don't even know, I guess just complaining. Sorry.
That's what we do.
Yeah, it's what I do, man. So and I already talked to Allie about this. If you're ever looking to get a refrigerator repaired,
oh man,
just don't fucking do it. Get rid of the refrigerator and go buy a new one.
I feel like your religion is now anti-refrigerator.
It really is. Like, I'm thinking about like getting a tat about it. So,
no fridge, no masters.
Yes, yeah, seriously. Don't tread on me, and it's just a refrigerator. But anyway, so. We had to, our refrigerator went out, and I know that I bitched and moaned about that on the last episode, so I'm not going to recant that, but anyway, so our refrigerator went out, and we were told it was still under a limited manufacturer warranty, and it would be 2 weeks before anyone would be able to come out to service it, and we have no idea how much it's going to cost to service it.
Which is all totally cool and normal and very easy to swallow. Great.
Oh, yeah. Good. Yeah, exactly.
Love it's to like... go 2 weeks with no refrigeration in my house.
Yes.
Perfect.
Exactly. And that was the other thing is I was like, it seems like they would kind of prioritize to, like, is this your only refrigerator? Yes,
as
it is.
As most people?
Yeah, exactly. Most people only have one, so... but anyway, so we went ahead and bought one and replaced it because we were like, have no clue, you know, how much it was going to cost. Dude comes out, about 30 minutes into the thing, he's like, all right, I figured out your problem. It's your compressor. That's going to be covered under the limited warranty. What's not covered under the limited warranty is the $458 plus tax of labor.
Wait, how long is it going to take him?
See, that was, and I didn't ask because I was like, I don't give a shit if it's going to take him 8 hours or what.
No,
I'm
exactly.
But that's a very good point.
I just wonder what his labor works out to be per hour.
Dude,
like,
I can tell you what he ended up leaving with.
Big old goose egg.
Dude, no.
Nothing.
No. $100 our fucking dollars.
Shit. Just
to come because
out.
Of the service
call.
Yeah, yeah. Like, and I mean, like, you can't. You know, it's just like, oh, they basically hit you with like, hey, you have to pay for the service call regardless, but we can wrap it into like the total cost, but I'm still not going to pay $400 additional to my $100 service call kind of thing. And I was like, okay, well, how much would it cost if the parts weren't covered?
Yeah.
He's like, easily over $1,000. I was like, the entire refrigerator brand new was $1,200 out the fucking door.
Right.
And he's like, well, that's just how much it costs. And I was like, well, we're just not going to pay it. So you can get your tools and
picture you at literally him. Booting him out the front door, just down the steps.
Holding him by
whoop.
His like his pants, like cartoony style, man. But it was just one of these things that I'm like, I looked up the part, and I mean, yes, they can be like between like $200 and $400 kind of thing. But you're telling me that this man, even if it took 4 hours, which it's not going to take four
I hope
hours, because he was talking about the previous call that he had, it was the compressor, and it took him like 1.5 to 2 hours. So you're telling me I'm paying this dude $250 an hour?
Honestly, I gotta go. I gotta get my refrigerator repair license.
No, you, dude, you laugh. I totally called my dad and I was like, I think I know what we need to go into.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Because
if those fuckers are getting paid that much, it's like, geez, not to hate on any refrigerator repair people out there, but dude, come at me with like how to get into that shit.
If you want to sponsor the show, holler at us.
Yeah, no shit. But anyway, so we now still have a non-functioning refrigerator that will be going most likely to the dump, but all is not lost.
I love in my mind, I'm like, you could sell it for scrap, right? How? To who? What?
I thought about that. Believe it or not, I just Googled refrigerator chop shop online. but I mean, shit, dude, because really what we wanted was just a beer fridge.
Yeah.
And hop online and in like 5 minutes we could find one for under $500.
You can find one of those glass fronted like wine fridges that would make a baller beer fridge for way under that.
Yeah. I mean it was just I'm surprised the dude literally when he was telling me that wasn't laughing.
Right?
Because it's laughable.
I like people in their industry that are like, here's your option. It's dumb. Don't do it. Yeah. I just have to tell you what it would cost.
Yeah. I mean, like, honestly, I mean, that basically was what it came out to, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, not going to rant anymore about that. But I am going to nerd the fuck out really quick with some statistics about ORNL's Summit Supercomputer.
Yeah.
So for the uninitiated, my wife works at Oak Ridge National Lab in IT, and occasionally she gets some really cool opportunities, at least really cool to me, opportunities to get virtual tours of shit since everything's shut down. But I did have the opportunity one time to go see, can't remember which supercomputer it was, but got to go see it in person, and that was actually really neat. I mean, it basically looks like a bunch of server stacks, but like when they're reading off like the capabilities of these things, it was just crazy.
Yeah.
So the current supercomputer at ORNL that now is number two behind, I think Japan has the fastest right now, but it could do 200 petaflops or 200 quadrillion calculations per second. Now,
give me the word again.
200 petaflops.
I love it.
Yeah, right?
That's a fun word.
Yeah.
It sounds wrong. It sounds like you're not saying it right.
Maybe that's our episode name.
That's a
petaflop
good one.
This.
It might be.
To put that into perspective, this thing, if each calculation was a grain of rice, could fill 2,000 Olympic-sized swimming pools with rice per second.
That is the dumbest way to express that, and I love it. It makes no sense to change. I can't, that's the best shit.
That was what the dude used, and I was like, I gotta take a note on that.
Love to fill up Olympic swimming pools with grains of rice to give you a concept, because I all the time think how many grains of rice would fit into this swimming pool.
Well, I can tell you 2,000 Olympic size are approximately 200 quadrillion.
Good. Quadrillion's a number I think of a lot, too.
Exactly. My follow-up question was, is it cooked or raw rice? No, I'm just kidding.
Ooh, see? Is it long grain? There's
Jasmine,
questions. Is it
what are
basmati?
We doing here?
Yeah. I have questions.
We know too much about rice, I just realized.
We're foodies, dude.
Very true. So the amount of networking cable used for, between the whatever stacks of processors and stuff.
Tell me how many times that could loop to the moon and back.
I know, right?
Please.
Not necessarily to the moon, but it's enough to stretch from here to Nashville.
See, I knew we were going to stretch it somewhere.
I know, right? And then at its peak usage, this is the last one, don't worry. I know everybody has
shut off. I'm here for it.
It uses at its peak usage 13 megawatts of power, which translates to basically powering around 10,000 homes.
Dang.
I thought that was pretty insane. On average, it's normally sitting around 7 to 9 megawatts. So whatever, you do the math. I didn't want to. So, but I just thought that was kind of fun.
That's really
and
cool.
Like, just the amount of we were asking about like the water coolant system for it. That it's like the water goes in at like 50 degrees and like comes out like over 100 kind of thing. And
yeah.
Like, it was just some absolutely wild. Whatever translations between like whatever power usage and like how much water they got to pump through it and all that jazz.
That's
so,
cool.
It was really neat. But that's about all my like nerdy shit for at least intro material. Don't worry, for all the nerds out there, I've got something else.
I've got just like a little like true crime bullshit to bring up.
Yeah, let's do it.
Unsolved Mysteries reboot comes out on Wednesday.
Yes.
So when we are out, I think that should be out, and I'm pumped.
Yes. Listen to our episode, and then go check out Unsolved Mysteries.
I was thinking, I was reading something right before we recorded, and it sounds like it's going to be like a little better done than the old ones.
A little higher production.
Yeah, but I think it's going to be pretty cool. And I'll Be Gone in the Dark, the book that I've talked up a million times, is a series on HBO as of today.
Was that the Golden Gate?
Golden State Killer.
Or Golden State,
yeah.
Golden Gate.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It sounds like it's going to be really cool.
Rock and roll,
yeah,
man.
Yeah,
that's
I'm
awesome.
Looking forward to that.
You said HBO?
HBO, okay. Yeah.
Dude, HBO does...
HBO's killing it lately.
I mean, Chernobyl...
I never watched it because I think it would really depress me.
Dude, it was so well done.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it really was well
Everybody
done.
Everybody loved it. I knew a bunch of people that watched it more than... Y'all watched it more than once.
Yeah, we've seen it twice now.
Yeah,
and
I knew
honestly,
a few people
it was kind of ridiculous because the other day I was like, Miri, do you want to watch Chernobyl again? And she's like, are you fucking kidding? Which I just like nerding out about, like...
Well, there's so many... Like, I was re-listening to the damn Joe Biden episode. I'm like, I have such a backlog of things I want to listen to, and here I am listening to just a bullshit goof again.
Dude, we... In this
it's
time
a comfort
of
thing,
no,
though.
And in this time of need, man, we need levity. So... Yeah, yeah, okay. So, I was trying to think of where we want to go from here.
Man, I want to read you this Twitter thread.
Yes, please.
Okay, so I put on our notes, I was like, Daniel, do not read this. I'm excited for you to hear it for the first time on the podcast.
Yes.
Okay, so this is from this guy named at Aaron Reynolds on Twitter. And this is so fun. I love it so, I'm so excited. Okay. So I'm just reading his whole thread. Mm-hmm. He said, I started a new evening ritual. I leave all my technology inside except my Walkman, and I get into the hammock in the backyard, and I listen to an album from start to finish. My cat has been curious about this new habit, and I've been trying to coax him into the hammock. Tonight with some Rolling Stones, I've never really given them a fair shake, so I'm working through the Stones in mono box set.
Yeah.
And like clockwork, my big gray lump of a cat shows up. So I make some space, and I start patting the hammock and asking him to jump up. And to my delight, he decides to climb into the hammock. Except not in a very cat-like way. Huh. At this point, I should let you know that my backyard is very dark, and that I don't see well. I have just invited a raccoon into the hammock with me, and the raccoon has obliged.
What?
Uh-huh. The raccoon stares at me for a while, like, you invited me up here, now what? Yeah, now what indeed?
Yeah.
So I very slowly put one foot down, and then the other, on either side of the hammock, and slowly try to stand up. I'm maintaining eye contact with the raccoon as if my life depends on it.
Yes.
Here is my second miscalculation of the evening. As I take my weight off of the hammock, the raccoon starts to slide toward the middle. I am straddling the hammock, and the raccoon is sliding straight at my crotch, and all I can think of is the laser scene in Goldfinger. I chuckle a little. The raccoon doesn't like this noise, or he doesn't like the sliding, or both. He tries to turn around and climb back to his end of the hammock, but instead, now I'm straddling the raccoon like I'm playing horsey with it. I shout something, maybe Christ, I don't know. The raccoon also makes kind of a disgruntled old man noise that probably means the same thing. I do a profoundly inelegant dismount, bringing one leg up way too high to get it over the raccoon, and end up falling on the ground. The raccoon looks down at me from the hammock. He grunts. He settles in. The raccoon is outside in what I assume is now his hammock. I am inside on the couch with ice on my groin because I definitely pulled something. Anyways, I'm still not a fan of the Rolling Stones. What a ride!
That is amazing! amazing.
And then somebody replied to him and said, "You think you would have learned from the groundhog incident? That was you, right? Was it a groundhog?" And he says, "Yes, I came home from an eye exam and they put the drops in where you can't see for a few hours. And I thought I was letting the cat in, but I let in a groundhog who ate all the cat food and wouldn't leave. He came back to the door every day for a week and I never told my wife why."
What an asshole raccoon. I mean, groundhog.
That groundhog knew what he was about. He was about some cat food.
He's like, "Yo, dude, meow mix.
And you just, you let me in? Yeah, I'm going to keep coming back."
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know who this dude is, but I'm totally going to follow him for a while now.
I think I already know. I think we're talking about Dr. fucking Doolittle, man.
Well, so I'm thinking this through, and I'm like, dude, I would have panicked, and then I would have been like, okay, the raccoon's already here, though. What if I snuggle it for just a little bit? And then I would be like, no, it might be rabid.
See, that's raccoons. I feel like raccoons would be like a really cool pet.
Okay. Until they flip out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was like the in the last podcast group on Facebook. Did you see that snake thing?
Yes.
With this snake, like, basically. I mean, people, just remember that no matter how many years you have owned a pet, it is a pet, and it was at one point wild. Even if it's a domesticated dog, it's still an animal. And so, just treat it like that. Like, come on. But this snake, like, straight up. Like, it looked, I feel like she should have known better. Having owned a snake, I feel like you should know when it's going to get aggressive.
Especially a giant, giant snake.
I mean, this thing was,
like, Amazonian.
This, like, 10 feet?
It would at least fill 2.5 Olympic pools, I think. Like, if you just looped it around, right?
It would stretch from here to Chattanooga.
How many grains of rice could it eat?
How many grains of rice would fill this snake's belly? Snake belly. That's kind of a fun. Wait, how long is a snake's belly?
I think it depends on the snake, buddy.
That's a good point. But, like, does it literally.
I don't know.
Is it just a food tube? A slithery food tube? Like, what? What is a
Please
snake?
Please Google, what is a snake?
All right. I'm writing
what is
a slithering food tube.
It's just a food tube. It's kind of what an earthworm is, right? It just zoops through the dirt.
Yeah.
Poops.
Zoops and zooping and pooping. Yeah. Oh my god, I'm really sorry, listeners.
We've both lost our fucking minds. This is it. Oh, I gotta tell
you
this.
We're ready for book clubs.
So. A lot of times when I'm reading, I've got, like, a bunch of go-to Spotify playlists that are just, like, chill music.
Mm-hmm.
And I had one playing the other night, and my phone was down as low as it could be without being silent.
Mm-hmm.
And I fell asleep. And I, like, at some point, like, put my book on the nightstand and, like, went to sleep. And, like, 2 hours later, I wake up. And my phone is under my pillow. My pillow's pretty thick.
Yeah.
And I'm laying there, and I'm hearing this music, but it's
really
quiet.
Was it originally?
I don't know. Okay. I don't know where I put it. I was like moving stuff in my sleep.
Gotcha.
And then my phone's still playing the music.
Yeah.
But I don't realize it's under my pillow because I don't usually put it there.
Yeah.
I am fully convinced that the music is in my head. And I was like, this is it. This is it. I have finally gone off the deep end. Fuck.
You know, hearing music and like disembodied voices, that's like a really big sign of like, a schizophrenia.
I was like, this is it. Like, I'm having some sort of a breakdown.
Yeah.
And I was just starting to panic. And then I was like, oh, it's my damn phone. Honestly, it was pretty pleasant. It was just like, you know, chilled out, like ambient music. It was kind of nice.
But like, dude, I didn't turn on Tom Jones. What's new, pussycat? Whoa. What if? That would be the weirdest thing to wake up to.
Oh, my God.
All right. Well, on that note, I'm sorry.
I feel like we're on one today.
I know. All right. So I have something very lighthearted about the coronavirus pandemic.
All right.
So I thought this was kind of neat just because it's kind of a shout out to Knoxville. So, okay. There is a... I just realized my parents might know this guy.
Oh, cool.
And I could be making that up. I'll ask him afterward. I think they went to church with a dude like this. I know his first name was Peter, but anyway. So there's a Dr. Peter Tsai, and he was doing he had been doing research on filtration materials at UT, and he ended up patenting a bunch of about 12 different materials, one of which is the main material in the N95 disposable filter things or
that's
whatever.
Neat.
So so I mean, this dude played a supremely huge role in basically disposable mask stuff for this pandemic. And this guy just seems like a super down-to-earth dude that he had actually retired in late 2019, but once all this stuff started rolling, he was like, I feel like it is my civic duty to come back out of retirement and see what I can do to help.
Yeah.
The cool thing is he and his colleagues had had basically done a lot of the tests that were required to show the efficacy of being able to sanitize these masks for reuse.
Yeah.
And so all of these different companies were able to use his research and his colleagues' research in order to upscale this stuff to the production that was necessary for the COVID-19 stuff. But I just thought that was really cool. Dude's 68 years old. People are... I thought this was really funny. To nerd out for a split second, his actual material that is used in the N95 masks, his invention gives the masks filter a permanent electrostatic charge by exposing it to a halo of electricity. The halo of electricity, guess what it's called? A corona.
Oh no.
And so he was like, it's actually called coronal charging.
Shit.
And he said, the article was like, the irony of the name is not lost on Tsai. And he joked, I use coronal charging to fight coronavirus.
Oh buddy.
So I was like, that's kind of interesting. The last thing that I kind of wanted to mention about this is basically they just went through a bunch of different tests to figure out what was not going to mess with the integrity of the mask, but sanitize it, remove 99.999 or whatever percent of contaminants. And so basically people were calling for him to be in the running for a Nobel Prize.
Wow.
And he was like, I don't really have any interest in getting a Nobel Prize. He was like, he had been put through so much stress over this. He had lost 10 pounds. And he was like, my prize is a no belly prize.
Oh my God.
I was like, I feel like I want this man to be my grandfather.
I love this man.
Right?
That's great.
But it was pretty cool. Also awesome that, he was doing this research at the University of Tennessee in Knoxville.
Yeah.
So pretty cool shit. But
that's really neat.
I figured that was a pretty nice, lighthearted article to toss a shout out to Dr. Peter Tsai. Thank you for your efforts.
Cool.
What do you got?
Man, I want to tell you about Pepsi.
Yes, please.
I've had this on my radar for a little bit, and I keep putting it off. Dang. Okay. Strap in.
Let me put on the seat, man. Right.
So, Pepsi in 1992 started trying to break into the Philippines.
Okay,
that sounds like a crime. Break into the market.
Yeah.
The Philippines at the time was the 12th largest soft drink market, and Coca-Cola was popular, so they already were doing pretty well.
Yeah.
That market had 62 million people and was rapidly growing.
Yeah.
The economy was pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
Tens of millions of people, so most people there, were working jobs that paid very little but were really tough, like the rice fields.
Yeah.
Executives of Pepsi had this idea to have a promo where each of their bottle caps would have a number, and several of those numbers would win small prizes. Two winners would get $40,000 each, which was a million Philippine pesos.
Wow.
And I'm like, oh, it doesn't sound like so much. Like in 92, that still wasn't so much.
Yeah.
But in the Philippines, it was.
Yeah. I mean, a million, shit.
Yeah. They said they budgeted out to give a total of $2 million in prizes in the Philippines in this campaign.
Yeah.
So according to Wikipedia, The legal minimum wage in the Philippines at the time was 118 pesos a day, about $4 US.
Jeez.
Dude. Yeah. This is in 92. This is in our lifetimes.
Yeah.
So that grand prize represented about 23 years of earnings for someone making that level.
Oh my God.
So that's a big prize.
Yeah.
This is a life-changing prize for these people. Except, whoops, one of Pepsi's vendors manufactured 800,000 bottles with the number 349 on the caps, which was that winning number.
Oh, no.
So they were going to give out two prizes of that, but 800,000 bottles had that on the cap. Pepsi didn't know this was happening. Their vendor just did it.
Yeah.
Here's some quick math. That would be 32 billion in prizes, not the 2 million they meant to do. And that doesn't include those other initial prizes, too.
But 32 billion pesos.
No, U.S.
32 billion U.S.
dollars.
Jeez. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still a lot in pesos.
It's even,
like,
more in pesos.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Be like trillions in pesos. Yeah. Or quadrillions. I don't know.
Wait, did you say quadrillion?
Get the rice!
Get the rice!
So, Pepsi had told these vendor factories that they worked with not to print the number 349 at all. Because those two big prize-winning bottles, they were going to have those specially made by Pepsi and then sent to the Philippines. Pepsi's just moving right along. Business as usual. Has no fucking clue what's about to happen. Have you heard of this?
No, I haven't.
This is a thing.
No shit.
So these people in the Philippines are buying all the Pepsi they can.
Yeah.
Trying to win a huge windfall, right?
Yeah.
Pepsi's market share in their country in 2 months went from 4% to 25%.
Well, I mean, because you said, did you say 60 million?
62 million
62
people.
Million. So, I mean, you're basically saying 1 in 62, roughly, is going to win. Because it's almost
but that's not how it's supposed to be.
Well, no, yeah, it's supposed to be 62 million.
Your odds are not supposed to be that good. Yeah. So it's time for the drawing. Pretty much the whole country is watching, right? Because, like, I want to win this. A lot of them have the grand prize winning cap. And Pepsi's like, oh no, wait, oh no, huh? Pepsi realizes they can't just not pay these winners.
Oh, did they
They offer them $18 each. That is 0.045% of the prize they thought they had won. And that's still going to cost Pepsi over four times their initial budget for the prizes of this game.
Oh,
these people,
God.
These people who are very poor, who are thinking they have won a huge amount of money.
Well, and just by the market share, just by the market share shit. I
mean,
everybody's doing it. It sounds like people were literally, like, pumping, like 80% of their wages into, like, fucking buying Pepsi.
Yeah, so people are unhappy.
Yeah,
protests break out in front of government buildings and the local Pepsi headquarters. There's a consumer action group that forms. Riots start. More than 30 Pepsi trucks were firebombed.
This was in the Philippines.
In the Philippines.
Okay, yeah.
In 1992. Rioters are throwing rocks at the police.
News?
Yeah.
Okay.
But we're little.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, shit.
Well, did it make national news? I don't know. Yeah. The news sucks.
Well, I wonder, yeah, that's very, honestly, that I'd say that probably in Pepsi's budget was some hush money.
Probably.
So. I wonder if there's some YouTube clips or something.
I think so. There's at least YouTube clips of the ads for this whole campaign.
Oh,
rioters are throwing rocks at the police. Police are using tear gas. A protester threw a grenade. Where did you get a grenade?
What?
And that grenade bounced off a Pepsi truck and killed a woman and a young girl. Five people end up dying during these riots.
Wait,
and dozens
I'm
are
assuming
wounded.
The grenade went off.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, I know that's a stupid question, but I just had this, like,
Either that or it hit the two people in the head hard enough that killed them. I don't know, but
I'm going to assume it went off. Okay.
Pepsi had thousands of court claims. They had about 22,000 people who filed at least 689 civil suits and 5,200 criminal complaints for fraud and deception.
No shit.
Yeah.
I mean...
And...
But I wonder if the vendor... It seems like Pepsi would have been, like, redirecting. I mean, granted, Pepsi should have had better oversight.
Sure, sure.
But it still kind of ultimately falls on the vendor. Because didn't you say that Pepsi specifically...
Do not use this number, yeah. And then they did.
So, I mean, it's kind of like, yeah. At what point is, like...
Well, there
I bet
was
that
a,
vendor isn't...
Probably.
isn't
There's
a vendor
really
anymore.
Long trial, yeah. And the Philippine Commerce Courts ruled that Pepsi had made a mistake, but it wasn't malicious, and Pepsi had not committed a crime. Pepsi's total losses from all this, including physical, legal, and brand equity costs, were over $20 million U.S. Woo! How did we not know this?
Dude, that
this story's
is
cool.
Wild, yeah.
This is, like, I feel like I should email... stuff you missed in history class and be like,
yeah,
here's
no
your
shit,
one.
That's awesome.
Or the dollop. Ooh,
oh,
this would make it good.
Dollop would be awesome.
I don't know how much detail is out there. Yeah. From what I could find, that was most of the detail that I found, but also wasn't trying to like write a book on it.
Yeah,
so I know.
For
but,
sure. For sure.
Isn't that neat?
Dude, that is wild.
And it's got a whole like I'll link the Wikipedia in the newsletter. I found a couple articles. I went by one that was on Medium. Mm-hmm. And then the wiki page, they had fact-checked a lot of the stuff with it. But it was called the Pepsi... Shit.
That sounds apt. The Pepsi shit.
The Pepsi number fever. Also, the 349 incident.
The 349 incident.
Pretty nice.
So my mom worked... I keep forgetting that she retired, with a lady that immigrated from the Philippines.
Yeah.
And every time she goes back, like, she doesn't like going back that often because since she immigrated here and has, like, a decent paying job kind of thing.
Yeah.
She's viewed as, like, super rich when she goes back. And so, like, all of her family, like, hits her up and stuff.
Yeah.
And she's just like, dude, I just don't like going back anymore.
Yeah,
kind of thing.
I'm sure.
But, man... I didn't realize how incredibly, and it's hardcore tangent, sorry, but dude, the Philippines gets rocked with all sorts of like natural disasters, on the reg, man. It's like kind of bizarre.
Yeah.
But anyway, sorry, hardcore tangent. But that's, dude, that is an absolutely wild story.
I stumbled across it and I was like, what?
Yeah.
Seriously, I was like, did somebody just have a creative writing exercise? But like, no, it was real.
Jeez.
Crazy.
Was this before or after Pepsi Crystal?
Probably about the same time. 92.
I would have thought probably about the same, right?
Here we are drinking our Crystal Pepsi, not knowing.
Crystal Pepsi.
Pepsi is out here just, just ruining lives.
349, yeah.
Whoo.
All right. So, how about we talk about how South Korea is adopting driver's license on smartphones.
I dig it.
I mean, so I dig it.
Yeah.
Because everybody, it's we're to a time in history that I feel like even though I don't like this, we're moving away from physical media.
Yeah.
And physical just items.
I like physical stuff. I like writing on paper. Mm-hmm. I have a bullet journal I'm a big fan of. But I really like having everything like in my email or on the cloud or whatever. Yeah. Like I have a folder. This is a little life hack I have made. But I have a folder on my phone that's just called like info.
Yeah.
And I've got like a picture of my driver's license because sometimes you just need the number for a form and you might not remember it.
That's actually really good.
Yeah. Idea. Like just stuff like that. Like I've got that. I've got like our payroll schedule from work saved in there. Just like stuff I might need. Like, don't take a picture of your debit card, like put that in some other way. Like I have mine, like most of the numbers pasted in something with one fake number in there and I know which one's wrong. So I've got to change it. Like,
oh, that's smart.
That way, even if someone gets it, they're not going to get it right.
Yeah.
But, like just save stuff on your phone, like your insurance card.
Yeah.
Just shit that you might need that you might not have, Andy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's nice. It's good. Yeah.
Basically three telecommunication companies in South Korea have decided to launch a digital driver's license initiative. And first of all, I had to mention, it's really funny because the girl that they chose for whatever the like picture for the article.
Yeah.
She's like standing there like pointing at the phone. It's got like a barcode and a QR code and her picture and stuff. And you look in her basket, and she's got Bud Heavies, blue moons and just snack like whatever, like shrimp chips and stuff. And I'm like, dude, I want to party with this chick. And literally, I went down to the comments and somebody said, Bud Heavy Blue Moon, honey knows what's up. I was like, yes. But that's yes, great. So basically what they're doing is they've teamed up with this company, Aton or Aton, to integrate digital driver's licenses into the Pass app, which is already being used to verify mobile payments in Korea.
Yeah.
The Korean National Police Agency is totally on board with this. And to be perfectly candid with you, I feel like if you keep your finger on the pulse of South Korea,
yeah,
like a lot of their stuff like slowly migrates over here.
Oh,
like
yeah.
Ideas.
Yeah, they're ahead of it.
Stuff.
Yeah.
So they're super. I was looking at tangent. Sorry. Tangent time. I was looking at average internet speeds of the United States versus South Korea.
Yeah.
Dude, there's just like literally like 10 times ours. Yeah. It's like the average there's like 50 and the average here is like 5.
Dang.
I mean, I'm
sure.
Don't fact check me, but it's like it was kind of crazy, like how much faster it was.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they basically just said that, what they're gonna do to protect everybody's privacy and all that jazz, which they're very vague about that, which makes me hesitant. Obviously, as an early adopter, but they are doing. Moving forward, if you renew or if you are getting a reissued license, they're actually kind of not, I don't know if they're forcing people, it doesn't really say, but they're kind of suggesting it kind of thing. And so what they do is, the security features for this is a screen capture prevention tech. I would have to know more about that.
Sure.
A constantly moving animation layer, which I'm assuming would be kind of similar to the holographic stuff that Tennessee uses to whatever show authenticity of it.
Yeah.
And then they also have a code that every like so often resets or whatever, that it's like a unique identifier kind of thing. So users will only be able to use one smartphone when registering for the service. And so it also kind of makes you wonder how difficult it is to migrate if you get a new device or whatever. Yeah. And then they said that they would be using blockchain tech to help protect sensitive data. I love blockchain.
I cannot understand it.
Well, the only thing that I like about it is that it's like, It's this decentralized thing.
Yeah.
That it's like, it basically, and it from my understanding, which I really wish Joseph was on here so that he could give a quick and dirty on it, because I'm with you. Like, honestly, I feel like I know enough about it to like, I don't even know what, like get shit completely wrong.
Yeah.
You know what I'm
saying? Yeah.
Or the exact opposite, but. My understanding was basically it just creates this pedigree of like data that you can't mess with. It's like time stamped or whatever, and it's like, hey, nobody can mess with it unless you're like the end user kind of thing.
Okay.
But if I am wrong or if you know better, hit me up and correct me at tetherradio@gmail.com because no kidding, I would love to know more about blockchain tech. So if you think for one second that this is at least not being mulled over by the U.S., I would think that it is.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We'll see how it gets rolled out in South Korea and see what kind of issues they run into, which I'm sure that's probably what the U.S. is waiting on. Just using the South Korea data as like the whatever beta form of it.
Yeah.
But anywho, that's about all I've got for digital driver's licenses. So,
man, I would like that. I don't like having stuff on my keys. So when everywhere has a keychain loyalty thing, no.
Yeah.
So like, I mostly have those stored on my phone, like in like Keyring or something.
Is Keyring, does it like aggregate all your like?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool.
So you can like search it and stuff.
Yeah.
And then I've got.
Is that an iOS thing, or is that a third party?
It was a third party when I did it. I think iOS has one, but I'm not sure.
Because that is
It doesn't awesome. Accept as much. Like, the iOS one, I'm just thinking of the Apple Wallet.
Yeah.
And, like, basically, Keyring can take anything, and Apple Wallet is picky.
Gotcha.
That's my understanding of it. But Apple Wallet's really cool to have, like, you know, your debit card and stuff in.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I don't know, like... I hate having a million, like, things on my keys.
Yeah.
And I would so much rather have that stuff on my phone. Like, I keep a wallet with, like, four things in it.
Yeah.
Like, I don't keep stuff on me.
Yeah. I the only thing that I think I always get accused of being a janitor because, like, my keychain. I do have a lot of keys, but it's like... Like, for instance, I had a key to, like, Megan's dad's house, my parents' house, our house, you know, the mailbox, like, and it's like, where do all these fucking keys come from?
I know.
Like, but yeah, like, I think, honestly, you might have just talked me into getting a key ring.
You should. I and hate it's, this as far as I don't know how secure it is, but I also don't care if you hack my Kroger card.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
You can have it. That's fine.
Oh my gosh, he buys a lot of flank steak.
Somebody took my gas points.
Yeah. Honestly, we're the ones that always steal our parents. Like, Megan's like, just put in my dad's cell phone.
Yeah, man. You know? Everybody does that.
But anyway, so thought that was kind of neat.
That's cool.
We'll see what happens moving forward. So,
I came across this article the other day about basically prisons perpetuating the opioid crisis, and I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So
let's do that.
So there's this. It's a firsthand account, but it's got a lot of like stats and stuff in it, and like. They've looked at studies. So even though it's a personal thing, it's also got a lot of real numbers in it.
Gotcha.
This lady, Melissa Godsey, she says that Suboxone, also known as buprenorphine. Okay, thanks.
I figured I'd let you have it.
Yeah, I was trying. She credits it for her recovery from opioids and meth addiction for years. And this came out of Vox. This is really cool. The little sub headline said, "Medications for opioid addiction work. Most prisons and jails don't offer them."
Mm-hmm.
So she's 35. She's in Seattle. She was afraid she'd be cut off from her treatment. And the week that this article got written, she had to turn herself in to serve a 2-year sentence in a federal prison for identity theft. So she was still on credit cards to buy drugs for a while. Generally, federal prisons don't offer medications for opioid addiction, even though studies show the medications are the gold standard for opioid addiction treatment.
Well, and addiction, I'm pretty sure at this point, is recognized as a legitimate disease.
But there's still all the damn stigma.
Oh, no,
So,
and the red tape.
Yeah.
That it's just like, come on, dude.
So she got, I guess lucky is not the right word. She got a good break, though. She contacted the ACLU and got an exemption with the Federal Bureau of Prisons. Mm-hmm. So she's one of the very few people who the ACLU was able to get the prison officials to offer medications for opioid addiction for. That exemption's really rare. And as of this story being written in January of this year, only Rhode Island and Vermont officially offer the 3 federally approved opioid addiction medications to jail and prison inmates. So, the other 48 states and the federal government only offer them, like, in really limited circumstances and generally not at all.
Gotcha.
Some of these numbers are just crazy, though. It says that 58% of people in state prisons and 63% of people in jails meet the definition for drug dependence or misuse, compared to 5% of the general population. So, like, yeah, it's a lot more people in prison who are, you know, of course. And people that have just been released from prison or jail have a 129 times as high risk of a fatal overdose compared to the general population.
Okay, can you read that one more time?
Yeah, sorry. Let me read it the way they said it.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Ex-inmates' risk of a fatal overdose is 129 times as high as it is for the general population during the 2 weeks after their release.
I wonder, So why do you think that is?
Probably because they just go hard when they get out.
You think so?
You think?
I mean, that would...
Almost a celebration of, yeah, I'm finally out, I'm going to do whatever.
God, that is a staggering stat,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, and that's from the New England Journal of Medicine. Like, yeah. It's not...
Yeah.
Slowpoke magazine or something.
Oh my god, I forgot my subscription's about to lapse on Slowpoke magazine.
Better renew that shit.
Sorry.
That
was awesome.
In Rhode Island, they found that their program offering medications for opioid addiction was followed by a more than 60% drop in overdose deaths recently released inmates, and that was in 2018. So like, they see that this works and they just don't care.
See, this is the thing that kills me about our prison system in general.
Yeah.
Is it's like, if you want to help people recover and get back.
They don't.
That's the thing.
It's just punishment here.
Yeah. And it's one of those things, but it's like, don't piss on my leg and tell me it's raining.
Thank you.
It's like, just fucking call it what it is.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, you're punishing these people.
Yeah.
And you have zero fucking expectations of them assimilating back into society.
Yeah. So, of course, they're going to be right back in prison. Because
that's just...
You're perpetuating this. So,
Which then brings up the private prison shit.
Oh, buddy.
But I won't go there.
That's a whole episode.
Yeah, that is a whole different kind of worms.
Well, there's this whole stigma that... There's this view that addiction is just a moral failing and not a medical condition. Mm-hmm. So, public resources shouldn't go to treating it.
Yeah, I disagree.
Which sucks. You know, oh, well, it's your own problem. Just be stronger and don't do drugs.
Yeah.
Okay, buddy.
Well, I mean, dude, I almost know for a fact that the most recent, I think it's DSM, whatever, the diagnostics, whatever.
Right.
You know.
They recognize it finally?
They actually recognize addiction as a legitimate disease kind of thing.
I absolutely believe some people are just more, like... prone to addiction.
I took a class in pharmacy school called Drugs of Abuse.
Oh wow!
And literally, when people use drugs long term, and specifically the one that I remember was ecstasy. Actually, it reprograms your brain.
Yeah,
like, and it makes physical changes to your brain.
Sure.
And so it's one of these things that it's like, okay, well, then you step back and it's like, well, what is the definition of a disease?
Yeah.
Oh, it's like this falls under that.
Yeah.
So, it was just, that's fascinating.
And
that's
maybe if you want to get down to it, like, yes, at some point you chose to start doing the drug. Mm-hmm. Fine, yeah, you made that choice, but like, you can't undo it.
Yeah.
You can't tell these people, well, you shouldn't have ever done it. Like, yeah, I know now, but like, help me, please.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And there's also the stigma that medications for addiction are just replacing one drug with another. And you know you've heard people say that.
So can I... real quick
anecdote. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because I worked in some pharmacies, some independent pharmacies locally. And, I mean, we're among the hotter spots of opioid addiction.
Yeah.
And, dude, I cannot tell you how many prescriptions for, like, Suboxone or Subutex or, you know, all that jazz. And I am a complete and utter, I agree with it.
Yeah.
The problem is, in my opinion, is that with addiction, you're supposed to be receiving this drug and some kind of therapy.
Yeah. Not
and
just.
Like, well, in addition to, like, a... In my opinion, now this is, I'm not a specialist in addiction, but there needs to be an end goal kind of thing instead of just this, because these people that have been on like Suboxone for like 5 years.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, in my opinion, that is completely ridiculous.
Yeah. Like your goal should be to get off of it.
Yeah, exactly. And like these docs which this is just. Shining a spotlight on another fucking like glaring issue with our healthcare
system. The pharmaceutical industry?
Yes, because they're willing to keep on fucking writing them as long as the patient's willing to keep on filling them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's oh my God, there's just so much money tied up in this shit.
Yeah.
that it's difficult to get anybody on board because nobody wants to give up that you know, cheese.
Exactly.
So, and it's so fucked up.
Yeah.
So, it's, but anyway.
No, I just want to yell every time I think about it. It's such a mess.
It really is. It's
so
a complete mess.
This specific lady, she had tried to get off of Suboxone before.
Mm-hmm.
She was staying at housing with Seattle's Union Gospel Mission, and she was told she had to be off the medication.
Okay.
So in the 3 days that she tried to do that, she had suicidal thoughts. All she wanted to do was go get high.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, she was like, I can't do this.
Yeah.
So she went back on Suboxone,
mm-hmm.
and she was kicked out of the house.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I don't get it. I was going to say I get it, but I don't get it.
Yeah.
I don't get it. Like, you're not letting this person take a medication that is, trying to kick an addiction.
Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
You know? And they don't allow medications for opioid addiction because they are an abstinence-based program.
I mean, so
be stronger and just deal with it is what you're trying to say to these addicts?
So are there other options? And I'm literally just, it makes me wonder if there are other options that it's like, hey, you know, this, for lack of a better phrase, halfway house, you know, this halfway house has abstinence. This one, you know,
I mean, maybe, and I don't know what all she was going through and what her options were.
Yeah.
She had kids that factored into it.
Yeah. That's
terrible, it sucks. They ended up, her and her three kids were sleeping in her dad's one-bedroom apartment, sleeping on the floor until she could get an apartment using government aid.
Yeah.
And, like, she's trying. Like, she's out here trying to be better and struggling, you know? And
well, and it sucks because you've got people like this, seemingly this lady, that it's like, hey, I want to stop kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then you've got people that are just
sure. Yeah.
It's like, well, it's paid for by the government, you know, give me my monthly methadone or whatever. And it's like, come on.
Well,
man.
So she was worried because she was going to have to go to prison for this, that she, if she couldn't be on meds for it, that she would, you know, have suicidal thoughts again. And she would also be afraid she might mingle with what she called bad people trying to get drugs.
Yeah. I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah. So, like, it would hurt her attempt to rehab while she's incarcerated.
Yeah.
And so the ACLU got her that exception.
Yeah.
Then they kind of go into our prison health system being awful.
Yeah.
Saying, like, they're specifically very bad when it comes to addiction treatment because they don't even act like they're trying. You know, they don't even pretend to try.
It doesn't surprise me in the least.
And he really breaks down a lot of stuff. I won't get into all that. But the ACLU is really hoping and thinking that they are making a change with lawsuits and lobbying and stuff. That, you know, this lawsuit got it for this one person.
Yeah.
And they're trying.
Well, plus it's like, dude, why approach these fucking pharmaceutical companies and get some kind of a price cut on this shit.
Right?
We're talking about the penal system.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck, man? Like, obviously, it's, why don't we go for volume instead of price kind of thing? And it's like, you know, there's the stat that you just read off that it was like, what, 60-some percent?
Yeah.
Of people are struggling with addiction and you know, the prison system.
Yeah.
It's like,
and even in the jails, it was 58%.
Like,
that's your people that are getting arrested for, like, loitering and stuff. Like, that's your minor bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah. But, oh my God. Yeah. That's tough. Oh, it's the shit thing is it's this multifaceted problem.
Oh, yeah.
That it's like,
yeah. It's
how do you even start?
It's like the police system.
Yeah.
Like, so much needs to change and it's overwhelming to think about.
Yeah.
But shit's changed. Did I tell you about Colorado already passed a big reform?
I think I saw something that they had, outlawed certain maneuvers.
They did. There's a handful of different things. I didn't read all the details, but it was a pretty big thing that they've already passed. And I'm like, that was quick. Like, and that has to be at least partially influenced by protests.
Yeah.
You know, and by, ooh. Did you hear about Elijah McClain?
Doesn't sound familiar.
I didn't hear about him until like this week, and then I felt like an asshole. I don't know if it was on anybody else's radar this week, but he was an autistic man. He was 23 and black in Aurora, Colorado, and he was walking home. It was in August, and he was wearing a ski mask because he's anemic and he's cold all the time.
Yeah,
and so like the officers end up killing him, like. I don't think they meant to, but they just kept doing stuff and kept doing stuff. And then they gave him ketamine.
What?
As, like, to, like, tranquilize him, calm him down, or whatever.
I thought you were talking about just like...
No, not just for fun. Like, hey, do you want to party?
No. I thought they were like, whatever, planting.
Oh, no. They like, I think, injected him. Uh-huh. But it was like, he was small, and they injected him with like a way too big of a dose, and he had a couple heart attacks, and he died. And it's just,
I mean, that sounds like an absolutely fucking bizarre story.
I shared a thing to my Facebook yesterday, if you want to go look at it. It's like his last words. And it was him being like, I'm so sorry. I'm just trying to walk home. Please don't do that. It hurts. Like, it's heartbreaking.
Oh, that sucks,
man. And he's like, please don't touch me. I'm very introverted. Like, I'm not doing anything wrong.
Yeah.
I'm just cold. Like, please get off me. Like, it's so bad.
This, for some reason, like, this, and this is kind of ridiculous, but you know how, like, whatever, on the side of, like, cruisers and stuff, they have, like, to protect and to serve or whatever?
Yeah.
But then, I always love this little detail from, and I'm sorry to derail a little
bit,
from the movie Transformers.
Uh-huh.
Because one of the baddies transforms into a police cruiser, and on the side of it, it says, to oppress and enslave. And I was like, oh my god, that's way too...
That's a big old statement.
Yeah.
Dang.
But I thought that was kind of but that's insane, dude. That is absolutely
And they've
insane.
Still not arrested anybody over Breonna Taylor, who's getting a lot more press since, not since I brought it up, but after I had talked about it.
For,
like,
sure.
I'm glad. But
no,
like,
it is because of the Tether.
It's us.
Part.
It's all
it is us.
Us,
dude. It is us.
Glad to get a little progress out there.
There you go. There you go. yeah, dude, that is just, that is a supremely fucked, getting back to the prison system.
Yeah, the opioids and
stuff,
all that, yeah.
That is just a supremely fucked system in general.
Yeah.
And, I mean, right up there, with police reform.
Yeah.
I mean, dude.
Like, anyone that tries to say it's not broken is fooling themselves.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. All right. Let's talk about some other people that should go to prison. It's called a little app by the name of TikTok.
Oh, man.
But, dude, you know what the worst part is? They ain't the only offender.
Oh, yeah.
Which is very eye-opening to me.
Oh, yeah.
So I pulled this article from BGR. iOS 14 caught TikTok and other apps spying on your clipboard. Do you copy and paste a whole lot of stuff on your phone?
So much.
Me too.
So much.
Which is very disheartening about some of these apps. Because
also, just
I use
glancing
them.
At the one that you had sent me, I think when they talk about your clipboard, they're also just talking about any time you type. So not necessarily copying, pasting, just typing at all, I think.
Well, so what it was talking about is every couple keystrokes, it was scraping your clipboard.
Okay, okay, so then, yeah, thing. Yeah.
So,
okay.
Yeah, which is super fucked. To get into this a little bit, basically iOS put out a beta release, and they have a little notification that comes down that basically says, hey, this app is accessing your clipboard. Or
they do that with location stuff all the time. So doesn't surprise me that they would add that.
So the new thing, they're actually going to have something pop up that tells when your microphone's active, when your camera's active.
Good.
Dude, I love this, even though I'm not a big fan of Apple still, because they are still part of the big tech problem, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I think that, and I'm going to make this comment, and I'm probably going to regret saying it, but I think they're a little less bad than some of these guys, maybe. But
that's
I'm gonna also...
It's going to come back and haunt you.
It's going to totally come back to haunt me. But that's also why I keep them at arm's length. So my phone is totally at arm's length. No, I'm just kidding. So basically what this new feature will do is it'll show a notification each time apps access the items that you copy and paste on your phone.
Yeah.
This guy in, let's see, by the name of Jeremy Burge, on Twitter actually had a screen, capture of like what it looked like. And dude, you watched it, right? Or did you watch it?
I did not watch it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the little clip. The notification is coming down. He's like typing out the tweet, and the notification is coming down between every 1 and 3 keystrokes.
Ugh.
And so, I mean, like, this thing is actively scraping your phone.
Just nonstop. Nonstop. Just nonstop.
Like, The worst part about all of this...
Oh, good. It gets worse.
Yeah, I know, right? is TikTok is not the only offender.
Yeah.
And the other shit thing is it was a feature. It wasn't a bug.
Yeah.
So TikTok actually came out and spoke to The Telegraph. And they said, following the beta release of iOS 14 on June 22nd, users saw notifications while using a number of popular apps. For TikTok, this was triggered by a feature designed to identify repetitive spammy behavior. I get it. I don't buy it.
I don't like it.
We've already submitted an updated version of the app to the App Store, removing the anti-spam feature to eliminate any potential confusion.
Mm-hmm.
TikTok.
Because you got caught.
Yeah. Thank you. Mm. TikTok is committed to protecting users' privacy and being transparent about how our app works.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah. About, sure. You know, it kind of comes back to the old don't piss on my leg at W's rated saying. So, now, let's talk about a couple other offenders.
Oh, hell.
The New York Times app.
Ooh.
Google News. I think it was Google, like, Notes, maybe?
Okay.
AccuWeather, Overstock. I mean, dude, it's like, it is problematic.
Dang.
With a lot. But this is the thing that I don't know. I feel like, and tinfoil hat time, dude.
Always.
I feel like it's almost one of those things, like, Apple would put this feature in.
Yeah.
And be like, hey, look at all these apps doing this nefarious shit over here. Oh, right. And on, you know, behind the scenes, we're gonna be scraping in a different way that you're not notified.
Hate it.
You know, it's just like, fuck, man. I really wish that I could trust these people to even a smidge of a degree. But
can't,
like,
trust,
dude,
them as far as you can throw them.
It really is that. Like,
yeah.
It's wild. I went to, let's see. No, it was, dude, it was fucking Chrome. I mean, it's just like...
Chrome works so much better than anything else. But man, it ruins your computer. Like, it slows you down so much.
Dude, I'm sure you've seen all those memes that it's like,
yeah.
Oh, you just installed some new RAM?
Yeah.
And it's totally true, because if you ever bring up, like, the task manager on your computer...
Oh, yeah.
Chrome is chomping on that RAM,
my gosh,
man.
Yeah.
It is wild. But anyway, so I just thought this needed to be mentioned, just because, dude, TikTok, and you know what, anytime I'm hating on, if I misspeak and say the Chinese people, I really mean the CCP, communist, the fuck is it called?
I don't know.
The Chinese Communist Party.
Okay.
Yeah. That's who I'm fucking hating on, because their government is corrupt as fuck, and anything that comes out of there should be taken with a grain of salt. And if you don't think that TikTok has some kind of play in that...
TikTok's out here creeping.
Dude, it is. It is. But anyway, that's all I'll say about that.
Oh, man.
So, I'll get off my soapbox now.
Well, okay.
Here, you can have it.
So... This is not a soapbox for a change. This is just something fun.
All right.
So, Nikki and I were together and we were writing up trivia questions. And just to self-promote some more shit
Please
of mine,
do.
We're hosting horror movie trivia at the Casual Pint North Shore on Tuesday, July 21st at 7. And it should be a lot of fun. We have a good time with it.
Dude, we will be making the utmost of efforts, because
yes.
That, like, if the last one wasn't in my wheelhouse,
yeah, man.
This is completely
it's
in my fucking wheelhouse. I'm looking at you, Monster.
Your team name has to be Monster if you come. It has to be.
Yes.
No, we have a good time with it. We were talking, and we talked about the Babadook being gay, as one does.
I'm really glad you're covering this, by the way, because I had seen some stuff about it,
but
I had forgotten to, like, look back into
yeah.
it kind of thing.
I was like, I don't know how it happened.
Yeah.
I thought it was just a shit post that got out of hand.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
It's legit.
Yeah.
Oh,
Nikki
okay.
showed me this, so
roll
thanks,
roll.
Nikki. Polygon has this really good article on it. So there was a Tumblr user named Taco Bell Ray, which is a solid username.
Yes.
And they posted a picture of the movie The Babadook listed in the LGBTQ section of Netflix.
What?
And they captioned it, "So proud that Netflix recognizes The Babadook as gay representation."
What the fuck?
This is in like
you haven't seen The Babadook.
I have
either,
not.
Right?
Okay.
First of all, it's really good.
I know. I need to see it. Yeah. I love the word Babadook. I love how he looks. I love the gay memes.
Oh yeah.
So much.
The gay Babadook.
Oh
memes.
My god. I love
rock
the gay.
And roll,
I've not even seen The Babadook, yeah. And I love The Babadook.
Yeah.
So I need to get to it soon.
Yeah.
And this was in like I think February of 2017 when this all really happened,
mm-hmm.
And then by like June. It wasn't just weird sections of Tumblr and Twitter. It, like, a lot of the internet heard of it, finally.
and
it's still going. I love it. Like, you bring up the Babadook, and people be like, you know, the Babadook's gay.
Yeah. Seriously, right in front of the pride flag, man.
So this dude, Ryan Broderick, who, he writes for BuzzFeed News, and he has for a long time, and he is a great follow on Twitter. His at is just Broderick.
Yeah.
He posted a thread from Tumblr where this one person is insisting the Babadook is gay, and other people are arguing, and someone says, I'm not sure if they're serious or not. And someone else says, the B in LGBTQ stands for Babadook. At the end of their conversation, they're like, this has been good Baba discourse.
Baba discourse.
I was having
That's
such a good
amazing.
Time. I was writing this up and I was like, this is so fun. And then the article actually gets into the arguments about whether or not he's gay based on the movie. So,
All right.
I have in my notes.
Please.
Daniel, surely you've seen this movie. Give me your thoughts.
So, I'm not going to lie. That was not the first thing that jumped out to me kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I really need to go back and watch it again.
Yeah.
I didn't get a supreme, like, LGBTQ. vibe kind of thing. But I'm all on board for this because
it's so fun. I mean,
dude, it hurts no one and it's awesome. So
there's a whole thing about him having a troubling history and many men go through stuff when they're coming to terms with their sexuality and eventually coming out.
Okay.
And there's a whole thing about like he lives in a closet.
God.
He wears a lot of black, which is very fashionable.
That's amazing.
When he, spoilers, but when he comes out of the shadows and shares his truth with those he loves, like there's a whole thing.
That's amazing, dude. That is absolutely
I've got a really good picture that's going to be our headline picture on the newsletter this week, and I'm so pumped.
My face hurts from smiling over the Babadook.
We're forced to stay in the Babadook. We're simply forced.
That is amazing, dude. That is absolutely amazing. Rock and roll, dude. Well, I'm all for it personally, and I'm all for also. I would love for you to watch it at some point.
I will.
And give me your hot take with it, because I have not seen the movie since this stuff has kind of come to the forefront, or at least. To my forefront kind of thing.
You weren't watching it going, is he gay?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, normally, you know, now that you mention it, I wonder if there, I mean, I'm sure there is like a niche category of horror, like gay horror.
Probably.
But I wonder like what that would really entail kind of thing. Because I did see something that came up on Shudder about the actor that was like the main dude for the second Nightmare on Elm. I think it was.
Mentioned that in this article.
Yeah, it's basically it's on Shudder, and I can't remember for the life of me what it was. I'll let Allie see if she can come up with the title.
Oh shit.
But it was basically the guy, the main actor, was gay. And he was discriminated against, like a lot on the set kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then it came out that he was gay, and, like, so it was kind of put in a different light.
Yeah.
But the thing that, like, that I absolutely loved about it is, and I have not seen the second installment.
Yeah.
But they were like, dude, it was his scream that got him the part.
Well, they said he was a teen struggling with his sexuality.
Yeah.
The character. And then he watches his male gym teacher get attacked by Freddy Krueger.
Wait,
and
that the character plays into, or the actual actor?
The character. The character.
Oh, I thought the actor.
I mean, he may be. I'm not sure. They only talk about the character in this. Okay. But they said one scene has him watching his male gym teacher get attacked by Krueger in a way that plays into those fears that both the character and society had at the time.
Oh, weird. And I need to watch that one.
It was during the height of the AIDS epidemic and a time when homosexuality was feared. Yeah. So it was a whole thing.
Man.
Yeah.
Huh.
That's neat.
That's super neat.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was just, what the hell is that? That's going to kill me. Cause they were promoting it, pretty heavily for, Pride Month.
Hmm.
I believe.
Man, I Googled gay horror movies and there's a lot. Yeah. Vulture has from 2 years ago. 55 essential queer horror films.
Hmm.
All right. I'll throw that in the newsletter too, as something to check out.
Let's see. Oh my God. I just wanted to drop the name of the movie real quick.
Yeah.
Nightmare.
Oh, it was Nightmare on Elm Street 2. Freddy's Revenge.
Okay. Scream Queen.
Yeah, that was.
That's what. Yeah.
They mentioned. Yeah.
So it's called Scream Queen, My Nightmare on Elm Street.
Yeah.
And it was about the actor, and it's gotten good reviews and stuff, and like it's a good
that's cool
documentary about it.
Yeah.
Here you go. Oh my gosh, they had a banner ad. Some have called it the gayest horror movie ever made, but for the star of A Nightmare on Elm Street 2, Freddy's Revenge, Mark Patton, it was anything but a dream come true.
Oh, wow.
So, like, yeah, he was legitimately...
Oh, this doesn't even mention that. This is just talking the character.
Yeah.
That's cool.
But, yeah, dude, it sounded interesting enough to where it's on my list.
Yeah.
Let me put it that way. So, but I totally forgot what we were even... What were we even talking about?
Babadook being gay.
Babadook.
That was pretty much it. I was pretty much wrapped up on that.
Okay, all right. But no, I'm all for that. Like, oh my gosh. That's awesome.
Yeah. Also,
man.
I love a good meme. I mean,
oh, I know,
who doesn't?
Right? Yeah, seriously. All right. I'm looking at the time. I'm looking over cheer, over there, everywhere. I've got kind of some dry stuff. The only thing I kind of want to mention this just because I mentioned it previously about section 230 of the what the fuck is it called? Communications Decency Act.
Yes.
Yes. And so I covered it previously. I'm not going to do a deep thing on by any stretch. But basically what it was is it allowed immunity to websites, or immunity from legal action so that when users posted stuff, the actual websites were not responsible for what users posted.
Yeah.
So I thought this was really awesome. A new bipartisan Senate bill is taking aim at the liability protections enjoyed by internet platforms like Facebook and YouTube. So there's a senator from Hawaii and a senator from South Dakota that have worked on this thing that they're dubbing it the Platform Accountability and Consumer Transparency Act. It's a full
I'd like to know how old these senators are, because I'm
if you want to look them up, I can give you some names.
Sure, because I'm just curious, because like so many of the senators are, you know, elderly,
like one leg in the grave.
Yeah. And so do you remember that remember when Zuckerberg had to try to explain cookies to that one dude? I'm feeling like that's all of these Senate hearings, and dude, like two young senators being like, you guys listen, just sign it, just fucking sign it.
Did you know that Strom Thurmond was like, I think he was 90, he was over 90 years old.
Yeah, man.
And an active senator. Active in parentheses, because he was fucking falling asleep during lots of meetings and shit. But
yeah, let me Google who are these senators.
Hashtag term limits.
Hey.
Let's see. The first one is Brian Schatz, Schatz.
Got him. Brian Schatz out of Hawaii is 47. That's not so old.
I bet these are younger dudes, if I had to guess, because, the other dude is John either Thune or Tune, T-H-U-N-E.
Got him.
South Dakota.
He is 59.
59, okay.
Which is Tobias Under on the younger side still.
Dude, it's literally, get up and Google just a couple different senators.
Oh, man.
It is outrageous how many of these fools are in their 70s.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know about you guys, but like, in my 70s, I'm hoping to be, like, retired and, like, just having to choose what to eat.
Right.
Kind of thing. And I have a hard time believing that all of these people, have it all there, for lack of a better
phrase. Or that they need to be making these decisions that aren't even going to impact them.
Yeah.
That...
Well, exactly. It's like, shit, dude. A lot of this stuff, you know, a lot of stuff that's passed, it's like, it's going to take 10 years to implement, you're probably going to be fucking dead.
I'm like, you're 84. What do you know about shit posting on Twitter?
Yeah, exactly. Don't make me yeet you.
Anyway, guys, elect me to the Senate.
So getting back to this super dry article, don't worry, I'll move through it very quickly.
Appreciate that.
Yeah, I know. Allie's over here already like, I'm like, dude, move away from the mic if you're going to snore.
Just drooling a little.
But basically what it does is it would require more transparency into the moderation practices that the different websites use, which I'm all for transparency personally. Now, the big issue that I would obviously have to read a lot more into this before I'm actually on board for this, because I feel like, I mean, come on, everybody knows all the pork barreling shit that goes on with any bill that gets through. But anyway, the biggest issue would be that they would basically allow civil lawsuits from federal regulators, which are currently limited by Section 230. And dude, I'm telling you, it would just basically be legal battles constantly kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so I don't know about that, because I would have to look into really what the consequences of opening up, you know, Facebook and Google and all these companies to just basically any and all civil lawsuits.
Yeah.
But man, I'm telling you, I really do think this is would potentially be a good step forward with all of this, because their moderation practices really do need to be revealed kind of thing. Because then it can be put to rest that it's like all this bullshit like shadow banning, and like, it's like, dude, let's show us how it happens so that we can say, oh, well, these people were complaining for, you know, over nothing or, oh, they were true, you know, it was actually happening or whatever. It's like, let's just put that shit to rest. So so that was kind of the meat and potatoes of it, because I just think that actually does need to occur. I don't, like I said, I haven't read the bill. I don't know like the absolute like details of all of it. But yeah, I think it would be a good step forward into really making these big tech companies accountable. Because I think sometimes they're kind of like, oh, put their hands up and back away, and they're like, oh, Section 230, you know. But that's kind of all I got.
You need to have some accountability. Like, no, you're not going to be able to catch every single terrible person on Facebook, but can you be your attention be drawn to a private group that's 100,000 people of white supremacists? And shut it down.
And that's the thing, is because it's, you know, the other cool thing about this is that it would also, it kind of revamps the appeal process, so that it's like, that's a little bit more transparent, so that it's like, okay, my stuff gets pulled off Facebook or whatever, Twitter and all that jazz.
Yeah.
You're able to appeal it and like get a legitimate reason or whatever, instead of. And I hate this, because I'm sure that it does violate it, but I hate when they just say, oh, terms of service or community guidelines.
Yeah.
It's like, come on, we need, you know, at least to the person that's getting their shit pulled.
Yeah.
I feel like they deserve a reason.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, somewhat, so, yeah.
But yeah, so I think this would be a step in the right direction. Like I said, I'd have to, like, you know, read more into it and all that jazz, because I can only imagine that there's some very nefarious shit that they're trying to throw under the radar.
Oh, because, yeah.
Hey, it's the government. That's what they excel in.
Yeah.
So, but yeah. So, I think that's about it for that one.
Yeah.
I've got the womb stuff, and I've got the Dr. Disrespect stuff.
Womb stuff?
Yeah.
How many grains of rice will fit in a womb?
depends on the lady.
Also, is a womb just an eating tube? Like a snake?
Is it just zooping and pooping,
just
dude?
Zooping and pooping. womb stuff.
I'm gonna cover the womb stuff, okay. And then I'm gonna push off the Dr. Disrespect. I would urge people to.
I just
don't
think there's much to say yet.
And that was
something's happening with Dr. Disrespect. He got knocked off of Twitch, and we don't know why.
Yeah. It was just...
we covered it.
It's been really weird.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, so...
But I bet by the time this goes live, we'll know more.
I bet you're right.
So.
So, we will end with an absolute medical anomaly. once in a 50 million...
Oh, that
chance.
One! Yes! Yes. Shit. Okay.
Woman with two wombs carrying a twin in each. I was like...
that would be my luck.
I said... Yeah, right. They're like... Allie, we don't know how. You have 8 wombs and a child in every womb. How is this possible?
I would. Oh my God. No. An old coworker of mine. They got pregnant and it was twins.
Yeah.
And she found out that the older you are, the more likely you are to get pregnant with twins naturally.
Really?
Yeah.
Hmm.
There's like science behind it. Yeah. Like, honestly, I guess it makes sense. Like from a basic science, biological
yeah.
standpoint of like, oh, you're getting older. You should have already had some kids by now. Here's yeah. two.
Oh, weird.
So yeah. she was like maybe a year older than me.
Yeah.
And I was already, I had like just finally stopped sitting on the fence about whether I wanted kids.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't want kids. And yeah. then she got pregnant and it was twins. And I was like, oh my God, I didn't even think about that.
You're like, man, bullet dodged.
Well, because that would be me. I would be like, oh, okay. I'll sign on. I will have one. Mm-hmm. I will have one child, and
yeah.
then I would get pregnant. They're like, here are two. And I'll be like, that is not what I signed up for.
That's what always fascinated me
yeah.
about fertility drugs.
Yeah.
That it's like, oh, I can't have a kid, can't have a kid, can't have a kid. Here's quadruplets.
Ugh.
And it's like, holy shit. Because I one of my cousins, they were having trouble conceiving, and then she ended up with twins.
Yeah.
Which is like, not that... It's
yeah.
it's actually a pretty high occurrence
with drugs
with
for sure.
Fertility
yeah.
drugs.
Yeah. yeah.
So this lady though, she was found out to have two wombs, which this is now that I think about this, this is kind of interesting because she already had kids, so she knew that she had two wombs, but it's just like this is yeah, I know. Allie's eyes just got fucking
just
enormous. She's already got two daughters. And so they found out that she had this condition called uterus didelphus, I guess, where a woman has two wombs. And then she got pregnant and the eggs embedded one in each womb.
That is so wild.
She also has two cervix. I was like...
Cervices?
Cervices. Well, so they said cervixes in this, but it that the
matrix
it would make more
turns
sense.
Into matrices.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But, yeah. It's like fish. Two fish. One fish. I don't know.
Red fish, blue
red
fish.
Red fish, blue fish. Dr. Seuss
Shit.
Has entered the building. Yeah, but she was actually not on any fertility stuff or anything like that.
Man.
And yeah, they just said that this was some absolutely, very low chance stuff, very rare. So, yeah, just really bizarre stuff. And the doc actually said that she could be carrying identical twins in each womb, well... One in each womb.
Yeah.
Total of two children. And the doc was quoted as saying, it can happen, the egg and sperm at a very early stage, they split into two and then basically somehow get embedded in the two different wombs kind of thing.
I want this to be like a weird, like, gothic book, and these kids to be born and just hate each other.
It's like Cain and Abel or
right,
something.
Like from in the womb, they were like, I will not share a womb.
Oh my God. Like, I heard a really fun shower thought the other day.
Oh yeah?
If two pregnant women get in a fight.
No, you sent me this and I'm still mad about it.
If two pregnant women get in a fight, it's almost like the babies are having a mech battle.
I hate that. That's so bad.
That is so bad, but I thought it was a funny mental image.
It is.
But I believe that is about all I've got.
Yeah. I had a little thing I was getting into, and then I was like, I can make this a bigger thing, so I will push it to next week. It'll be cool.
Right. That sounds like a plizzan. okay, well, rock and roll, man. This has been episode 105 of the Tether Radio Podcast.
Woo.
We are super stoked that you decided to lend us your ear for time check, right around an hour and a half. So now I'm going to put on my dancing shoes and do our social jingle. So, yeah. So, if you want to give us any kind of criticism, feedback, suggestions, I don't know, tell me, explain blockchain to me. 200 words or less. No, I'm just kidding. You can send that to tetherradio@gmail.com. That is tetherradio@gmail.com. We are on the Dorsey Sphere at @tether_radio. Instagram, same handle, @tether_radio. Facebook, all one word, Tether Radio. We also have the Tether Radio After Dark Facebook group. Come join the conversation, post some bizarre shit post, whatever. Just like, let's get some stuff going in there. And we also have the Tether Radio newsletter that Allie legitimately kills it every fucking week.
Have a good time with that.
Dude, it's awesome. It's so good every week. You can sign up for that in two ways. Tetherradio.substack.com or by going to our Twitter page and checking out the pinned tweet. So, this has been Tether Radio, episode 105. I'm Daniel.
I'm Allie.
And we thank you for lending your ear for about an hour and a half, and we hope that you will come back next week for another installment of the Tether Radio Podcast. Also, check out the book club stuff. We're going to leave that active for a while.
Yeah.
A week, I believe.
Yeah. Or we'll figure it out.
We'll see how much steam it keeps.
Yeah.
So,
if it keeps rolling, we may just keep it rolling.
Keep it going. Keep on keeping on. But thank you guys again for checking us out. Tell your friends, tell your parents, tell your pets. I don't know what they're into. Anyway, so episode 105. Thank you guys so much, and until then, take it easy, friendos.